How are y'all doing this fine day? Okay, good. All right. So we're just going to start off introductions. I'm just going to say my name and then what your favorite kink is right as of this moment. And I'm just going to head around this way, okay? So my name is Michael. My favorite kink is in high play.
Bondage and butt play. Ray.
William and I'd probably say hard fucking and extreme, you know, more fingers the best.
Uh-huh. All right.
I'm Brian.
Well, let's see, I'm Brett, and I got to practice some rope bondage just recently.
Awesome.
Yeah, good.
Very good.
Like 12 hours ago?
It was a little
bit.
I took them to the place across from Eagle.
Yeah, we're in the middle of it, Donnie. Okay, so I'm Papa Tony, and lately I'm into new boots. Gutsy's got them yesterday, breaking them in today. Otherwise, I wouldn't be wearing them, but yeah, they need it. Other than that, a whole bunch of other stuff, which I will be talking about. So, please.
I'm Peter. It's my first time here. And
yay, Peter! Yay.
And I guess, yeah, I've been into pup play recently as well.
Good evening, my name is Scott. Next on my favorite list is electric play.
Yeah.
Keith,
talking ball torture. I'm Roy, rope finder.
I'm Daddy Jeff.
Active
butt play and piston.
I'm Jim. I like to do bondage, massage, and
role play. Yeah, role play. I know we have a few drivers, so one, two, three, four, five.
Right.
Please go.
What's the introduce there's yourself and what you're
into. I already know.
I'm Donnie.
Hi, Donnie.
What's your favorite
tool?
Yay.
Rod, and just last Saturday in a public place, Sioux Plantation, getting a cake slave to do three things in public that nobody else knew, but he and I knew to show control, and it was extremely hot.
Oh, nice.
Details later.
Well, details now.
give you ideas now. First thing he had to do, because I told him to wear a jacket and so and a shirt underneath, and so he had to go to the bathroom and take the shirt off and come back with the jacket zipped down so I could see his naked chest and pecs. And then the second time he had to go to the bathroom, he had to take off the socks and bring them back to me, and then I had a pair of socks that I had worked on that he had to go back and put on, so he was wearing my socks. And then when we left and went out to his vehicle, he got a present of a bandana that had my piss and my spit on it.
Ooh.
I had not shot a load on it, so that night he sent me like four pictures of the bandana tied around his cock and balls and a few other things, and in his mouth.
Nice.
So lots of ideas. They're not copyrighted.
Ooh. Ooh. Very nice. Thank you. Okay.
Sure.
Yes.
Well, my name's Kirk. My forte continues to be chain bondage, as well as puppy play. It's here. And all of what you said I've done before, but I never thought about sharing it.
Well, I would just ask. So,
That's kind of like what I do. I've done it a couple times, and I think it's really hot. I enjoy it. That's it. Mm-hmm.
So, name and what you're currently into.
Hey, Dante, you currently into... Oh my god, that's so broad.
Pick one.
Wearable gear.
Wrestling. Yes.
Wrestling is good.
Brian, I'm currently into fisting.
Yeah.
Yay. Nice. And then, yes, please.
Ricardo, I'm still discovering what I like. I like flogging.
Good blood.
Flogging, yes. For sure.
Michael.
Oh, Michael. What was our favorite?
Yeah. What are you into right now?
Right now, I'm just kind of getting control, I guess.
Austin.
Would you like to go to a sea plantation?
Can I?
It's not paleo, so that's a new thing.
All right, so we all know that tonight's discussion and next week's discussion is all about fisting. Mm-hmm. So for this week, it's all going to be introduction on not introduction, but more of an instruction from the top's perspective on how to fist the proper way. Make sure you take care of your nails too, y'all. Okay. Mm-hmm. And handing all this over to Papa Tony. He does have a few announcements.
Oh yeah. Oh, and lots and lots. But thank you. So, incidentally, my last scene at Soup Plantation was about a week ago. Seriously. It's a great place for scenes. Now, since my thing is largely service slaves, as they teach at Butchman's, you go on ahead and say, okay, and you come back and you say, I'll have some of that, some of that, some of that, some of that, but definitely none of that. And then he gets it all handled, and then and I go sit at the table.
Right.
And he brings it all to me, so it's very pleasant. Okay, so I'm going to be segueing like crazy tonight. Be warned. Several things. Before we get to the main topic, while we're still waiting for people to noodle their way in, I'm going to be posting a big article in a few weeks on what happened to my penis. I had surgery 8 days ago. I have a fully implanted, fully inside my body, prosthesis that's like a third testicle, and you pump, the dick gets hard, and then you hit the release valve and it goes down. And it has a warranty of about 10 years, and I plan to wear it out within 4.
I'll give you 2.
Got a lot of time to make up for it, gentlemen, I really do. Anyway, so that's going very well. Today is the first day where I have not felt that gravity was my enemy. And I'm very glad of that because it has been real tough. But, it's only been a week, so I'm okay. I mean, I'm getting a lot better. I'm not in any discomfort at the moment at all. And last time I had a pain pill was like noon. So I'm doing fine, But I will be posting pictures of the process and all that. And if anybody's shy or curious or whatever, I'll show anybody. I'm not shy about it at all, Right now, the biggest difference externally is that there's a bit of a lump above my cock because that's where the reservoir is. There's saline. And so I thought it would be buried under the muscle instead of just right on top of the muscle. So it's going to be there, I'm not going to star in any porn, magazines, people saying, what the hell is that? But, hey, if it's practical, I'll deal with that. That's what I'll deal with. So anyways, enough about that. So... this Friday, there's going to be a harness party. I have been not at my best. I've been drugged out up to the eyeballs on Vicodin and morphine and shit for the last week, so I haven't really been bringing it up. But this is the perfect time to bring it up. They brought back the bound theme again. They want very much for us to bring the big bag of ropes, which I will, on Friday night, and we tie people up. Because whenever we do that, the crowd gets really big, and the crowd is very gratified and very happy. And teaching how to do it takes mere seconds. Really, it does. So bring your best skills, bring your curiosity. If you want to learn how to do it, it's easy as hell. It really, truly is. Okay, so as far as other announcements, I'll look at the calendar, and I think you have the calendar too, don't you?
Everybody has a calendar.
It is a great calendar. Now, I want to stop for a second. Let's put a pin in it right now and come to a complete screeching halt. Let's talk about our brother Scott.
Hello, Scott.
Scott did magic that has never existed before. I've been doing the newsletter for, you know, over 4.5 years. Never missed one. Well, maybe I have. One or two. But whatever. The point is that the thing that has never been there has been detail. I'm not good at detail. I'm shit at detail. What Scott did recently is that he manfully took over the calendar and brought it entirely up to date. It is the most detailed and most beautiful newsletter, you know, that we've ever done. And I want to say that the balance between enthusiasm and practicality has now been bridged, thanks to our brother, Scott. Let's hear it for Scott. And we all benefit as a result. Anyways, so tonight is exceptional. This is the only time that the women's discussion group is meeting at the same time that we are. And my request is that you be patient, because they're our sisters, they're very nice people, and, you know, this is the one time they need to do this. Next week, we will be meeting here again, this woman, and we will be, we might even just bring the sling down here for Central, probably the best, because next week I'm going to be teaching the practical aspects. I'm going to be demonstrating. As I said, the alert I put out today is that when I'm going in, I'm going to mirror the same motions of what I'm doing, you know, with this hand on the outside, so you can see what's going on the inside. I've done this for many years, for dozens of years, teaching guys, and they always get it. And that's really nice. But suddenly, the guy who gets fisted by a newbie suddenly says, wow, this is really well done, you know, even though they've never done it before, by watching somebody who knows what the hell they're doing. Because basically what we are is we're pack apes. We're troop monkeys. We learn best by watching. Somebody knows what the hell they're doing. So what were you going to say?
I was going to say that I looked at the Stomping Ground calendar, and the Women's BDSM rap group does meet only once this month, and once again the next month, and once again on Wednesday.
Got it. Okay.
So we'll see if they can put a door up on Wednesday night.
That's fine. I think that is a grand idea and a good way to adapt to the situation. Anyways, so let's talk about me. What the hell qualifies me to talk about fisting? And then we're going to bring it around and we're going to have a discussion tonight. But let me talk a bit. I was at the San Diego Pride Parade in 1977. I've been at every San Diego Pride Parade since 75. But 1977, I was marching along, you know, proudly with my knees up high. We might have maybe 200 people in the parade. And there was this handsome man in a business suit standing off to the side of the road. I said, what are you standing there for? Come on, march with us. So he started marching with us. One of the first things that came out of his mouth, he says, you like LST? I said, oh no, but I do prefer LUST, which was my, you know, smart-ass response. Well, he thought I was mighty fine. And I thought he was mighty fine. He was 43, I was like 20, 22, 21, somewhere in that area there. Do the math, 22. Anyways, but so then he was remarkably well preserved for a man of 43, from my perspective back then. But anyways, so then he invited me to come to his place and gave me the address that, you know, to come over that evening. And I said, sure, you know, what the hell. And I went to his place. Now, you guys know where the Park Manor Hotel is, over at the corner of Spruce and 6th. It's a big brown brick building. Well, if you take a look at the side that faces Balboa Park, it's right there across from Balboa Park, the highest up balcony is where we lived. It was a seven-room, where he lived. It was a seven-room suite. And I arrived. The place was crowded with people, all different types of people, men and women, everybody talking and laughing. And there he is, sitting at a 15-foot Bösendorfer grand piano, stark naked, playing the piano. Chopin, as I recall. That was his big deal. Stark naked with a big old tallywhacker. I mean, big. He loved showing off his dick. He was a shower, and he liked it. And everybody was used to it from him. So after everybody left, then he and I were going to play, and I was expecting me to fuck him. And first I did, and then he says, I want you to fist me. I said, what's that? I had never heard of it. I really truly had not. And he showed me. He got me all prepped and showed me how to fist him. And I had a real hard on the whole time. Like, I didn't expect that. I did not expect to be so turned on. I was like, oh my God, this is the nicest thing. It's very deeply intimate. And so then he basically kicked out his existing boyfriend and I moved in and we were together for 2.5 years. And I went into the fast lane in a big way. This is my history. None of this is a brag, I promise you. This is not meant to be a brag. This is just what happened. This is what it was like back then in the 70s. He and his cohorts and his buddies were all doing a lot of drugs. A lot of drugs. A lot of crystal, a lot of acid, a lot of just marijuana. But I had nearly overdosed back in 1975, and suddenly I gave up on all drugs whatsoever, even caffeine. Even aspirin for a while there. I was so against it. So then I would go to these huge fuck parties and fisting parties and flogging and whipping and all the rest of this stuff in New York and Los Angeles and San Francisco and all over the damn place, Palm Springs. Wherever there are these big parties, I would get brought along because I was a young, tall top. I liked to fuck older guys. And I was perfectly happy to stick the biggest fist in the building up people's ass.
Upstairs.
Upstairs. It's all good. Okay. So anyway, on a typical big party, there might be 140 guys. Typical. This was average. 140 guys, very few of whom actually knew each other, but they were all on the party circuit. And I was always the dessert at the end of the evening for most guys because my fist is so big and it does not collapse. But I learned so much about sex, about flogging, about all sorts of powerful, powerful stuff. But what caused me to become really good at it was that, as I've said before, I went to 12 years of Catholic school and I knew how fucking pig ignorant I was when I got out of high school. I knew that I had no practical sense of anything. I had no street smarts, and I knew what I was missing. So when I started running around with all these men in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, and these guys were hardcore players. These were real sexual athletes. And in every case, whenever I would play with somebody, whether I was fucking them or whether I was fisting them or flogging them or anything, I'd say, how could I have made that better? Because I was desperate for wisdom. And here were these guys that, think about it now. You know, if somebody asked you with an open heart, saying, how could I have made that better? You're going to tell them. And these guys taught me some amazing stuff. And I'll be talking a lot more about this stuff with the master classes that I'll be doing. I mean, I learned how to, this is off topic, but just as an example, I know how to train a man to have multiple orgasms in a 5-minute period, even if he's in his 60s, where he comes so hard on the last time that he hits the wall behind him. I learned how to train a man to come on command. All of my slaves and boys learned very quickly how to come on command. I've learned how to have somebody have anal orgasms as many as they want, where nothing comes out of your dick, but whole body orgasms and stuff. I learned all this stuff from these guys, and none of this stuff seems to be on the internet. So that's the sort of stuff I'll be teaching about. Vlogging is just, fisting is a very small part of it. But where I'm coming from, I want you guys to understand why I want to share this stuff, why I'm dying to do this talk tonight. I could be at home still recovering from surgery, but I'm dying to be here because I love my brothers enough. I want you guys to get the good stuff. I want you to get the... Now, I know you have experience with fisting, don't you? Right. Now, I want it to be very clear. Anybody here who has experience with fisting, this is not meant to be a monologue. If you have something you want to add, pop up your hand and go for it. I want this to be all of us taking ownership of sharing the love that we have for our brothers so that everybody gets the good information. Okay? This is the warm-up portion here, and then we're going to get more ramped up. Okay? But if something comes up where you say, oh, don't forget this, please jump in. And that'll make me very happy. Okay? Okay. So that's my background. So what I would like, before we go too much further, I would like to go around the room and have each man talk about his understanding, his biases, his expectations of tonight's topic. whatever experience you might have or any mysteries it may have for you. Okay, I want to find out what the level is in the room. Okay, so I'll model. I'm Papa Tony, and I've had lots of experience with fisting. And I'm dying to share it with you guys. Okay. Hey, brother.
Welcome.
Traffic nasty?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I've been here an hour.
Yeah, we came here from North County. Thank you for coming down, brother. Okay, so that was me. And if you could.
Mm-hmm. I'm Peter. I guess I ambiguously had experience with fisting. I don't know. Like, there was one guy that I think he was kind of fisting or getting into it while I was in the bottom, and like it was really intense. It was nice, but I haven't really explored it, I guess, mm-hmm. anymore. But I'm curious about it, yeah.
Very good. Thank you, brother. Scott.
I do have fisting experience when I was in Baltimore. I was secretary treasurer of B.W. Bang, the Baltimore Washington Barrows, naked guys. It was a monthly orgy. And in the summer, we went up to one guy's place. His dungeon was on the third floor. And I got pulled up by one of the cute guys out of the pool and up to here in him. And that was my first experience. After that, I went to several of the fisting parties that were in D.C., and then after I moved to L.A., I found the one that was up wherever it was, and went to that several times as well. Then many years passed, nothing happened. Recently, I tried with one guy, and my hand doesn't collapse very much, or it doesn't collapse enough for him. Mm. It doesn't collapse very much to start with, so... We'll see if it happens again. But I did enjoy it, and it definitely does take a lot of connection and communication. But it doesn't need to be verbal, or it doesn't need to be word mm-hmm. word communication.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you.
I'm Brian. I probably fisted four or five times, but the first time I saw it was IML in the Hotel Palmer. That I really kind of learned about it, because our room, you look down to another room and you could see that's what was happening. And there seems to be fads going around, and that was a favorite thing that year, it seemed like, it was fisting, and you could see it out of hotel rooms because it was like an L, so you could see that coming. And then there was a bar in Paris called the Keller, and it was a fisting bar. First night I went in there, it was yellow hanky night, there was a bathroom and a tub and all that. Next night I went in there, the bathroom was gone. There's a board that comes over the tub to make a fisting bench, and people are fisting right as you kind of come in the front door. It was amazing. They had the looms and the towels, and I'm like, oh my god, one bathroom's gone, there's still another bathroom, so that was a change. And the last thing I want to say is I was one time going in Palm Springs, going to the barracks, and I thought I'd stop by CCBC, and the parking lot was full. And I thought, well, this is where I want to hang out. I went, and it's fisting party. I'm like, oh, I'll go in, you know. I'm sure people like to fuck. But they were fisting, and there's rules. And one of the rules was there's a lot of slings set up. But you can't be a sling lizard. You can't just go sit in the sling and wait for someone to come fist you. You have to have your fisting partner there. So there was just a bunch of them. And one room I walked by, guy sitting on the end of the bed, and he had two slings set up. It was just two people at one time. Yeah. Fisting two people at one time. It was just amazing. So that's kind of I just want to share those stories. Those were like memorable moments to me, is those three, the first time, then Paris, and then right here in Palm Springs. And I've fisted, like I say, just four or five times. I like it, but I just didn't feel like I had enough experience. I think I do now. That's a little long. That was my fisting experience.
I'm Ricardo. I have tried, and a couple people that I have met, they have tried on me, and I'm still not ready yet, but they are versatile, so I tried on them too. So I think I have experienced more fisting since they're already used to it, and they have guided me how to do it.
I met this gentleman in Palm Springs a couple summers ago, and he was big into it. And he's from Portland, and quite famous, I guess. And he is really good at what he does, and he has taught me how to do it very, very slowly. So I'm interested in it. I guess both.
Very good.
I had two or three experiences fisting as a top because a friend of mine begged me to fist him. He was very experienced, and I learned a little bit about it, but unfortunately he passed on about 4 years ago, so the whole thing couldn't continue, obviously. And then I was fisted a couple times by some guys on a couple different occasions that had personal hands. I enjoyed it very much, so I want to learn as much as I can.
Mm-hmm. I have no experience with fisting. In fact, I have trouble with fingering. It scares me to death.
Really, why?
Just the whole concept of it.
Really? Okay, thank you.
We'll fix that.
Yeah. I'm Daddy Jeff. Just because I'm my first partner, we were together between 1880 and 1890, and he taught. He was a bottom, and I didn't know anything about fisting, but he taught me how to fist him. So I fisted him for 10 years. We were together once or twice a week. Then my second partner, we were together 6 years. He had never experienced fisting, and I got to teach that to him. And now I've got another partner that I'm actually going to go see him tomorrow. It's down in Tijuana. And he, I taught him how to get fisted. He loves butt play. So I've been fisting him. And I have an attorney friend that's down in Chula Vista that loves to get fisted. He got a sling, and I fist him too. So I've been fisting pretty regularly since 1980. A lot of experience. I've never got done my whole hand in, though, past that second sphincter. I usually get, like, my fingers go up that far, and then my thumb, I just never been able to get anybody. And if I'd certainly love to learn some way to get help people learn to get past that second sphincter and go in farther.
Very good. Thank you.
I'm Daddy Jim. I've done a lot of fingering and fisted about half a dozen times. And I'm looking for the right lube for that. I'd really like to find something, a water-based lube that doesn't dry out too fast. And because I've had some, I've noticed some issues with the drying out of the lube too fast. So I have to keep that really well lubricated to make it work. So.
My name is Michael. I can't imagine being a fisted ever again. I have trouble with the penis.
Very good. Thank you. Can we pause for just a moment? I want to hear all this, but I also want to see if there's any water over here. I just realized I'm really parched. Just a moment.
There is. I don't have a sleeve with me. There's a good book called Fistman, and it talks about all the different lubes and different things you could use and making lubes. They also use like ultrasound stuff, you know, the gel.
Sure.
So there's a lot of things.
You weren't at the demo at Slade Keith's when they did the fisting demo?
Yeah, they used the Albaline.
Well, because several people had different formulas that they were sharing. How didn't somebody have some little cayenne pepper and a little it was just amazing the different things that different people talked about.
They have cayenne powder, you mix with water, it's very sweet. You can make this thing.
So I'm just curious, why water-based?
Because I like to use gloves when I fist, because I don't want to...
Right.
I would use...
You are aware you don't have to use latex gloves, that there's the...
I have nitrile.
No, nitrile. I don't think those are subject to any problem with the grease, are they?
No, they shouldn't be.
Are you talking about the black gloves?
Whatever they sell at Costco.
Blue?
Yeah, purple or blue or black. Yeah, you can get different sizes and stuff. I don't think those are subject to degrees of destruction.
In the book, it's called Fist Me. It's by a German guy. And he says white is better because you can actually see if you're bleeding or what.
I agree.
You're using white instead of black, but you can't tell. So if there's a problem, white blood, you're going to find out a lot faster than you're going to black blood. I'm David. I've never fisted anybody. I've been fisted. I enjoy it. And I want to learn more about it. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good. Thank you. Donnie.
I am curious about fisting. I have never done it before. I've seen videos where people have done it. I have some large toys where I can get them pretty much all the way in, so I'm sure that I could be fisted. I've tried doing it myself, but I'm not flexible enough. Yeah. I have the hand in, but... So...
Hello, I'm Michael. So, from my experience with it all, the first time I ever heard or even knew anything about fisting, I was, I think, 14 years old, maybe. I was sitting there looking at porn, I was like, yeah. And the next thing I know, I just see that, I just take this one porn, and this guy's just like, I'm just like, that's fucking awesome, yeah. And, I've always been interested in it, and as time went on, I kind of forgot about it just a little bit, put it back in my mind, but I've always known it was there. And recently, I witnessed it one-on-one, or some of it. I mean, they got like, I got 3.5 fingers in, and it was nice, but then they couldn't take it anymore. I was like, okay, that's fine. And then another person got like 3 fingers in, I think, and then they had to stop. I never got to see it. Like, all the way. Straight up punching
it like that. That scared me.
Well, remember, this is going to be Fisting 101. We're not going to be doing this. I promise.
Can I say whatever?
Certainly.
You know, I was afraid of it, and I thought it was nasty and dirty, because in the 70s, when I go to San Francisco, if you went to the Folsom District, it just reeked of shit. You just, anywhere you walked around, it just smelled like shit. And that was the big fisting area. And I just thought it was nasty and disgusting because of that, but, you know, that was then.
Yeah.
And I know things are much better and cleaner and so on, but it just, it was a turnoff at that time because of the smell.
Not a lot of douche facilities south of Mark.
Yeah, something was going on, but it was just sorry.
Very good.
Tyler, never done it before. I'm curious about it.
Yeah.
What a nice time.
Thank you, brother.
Very good.
Rod, and the first time was eons ago when I think there were still dinosaurs walking around. And I met this really hot, one of the hottest men I've ever met, trucker, who wanted to go to his cab of his truck, fantasy for a lot of people. And all of a sudden then, he was taking my hand, and I think he had some lube maybe, but all of a sudden he was guiding my hand into his hole to fist him. I had never in a million years heard about fisting, didn't know what the fuck was going on. But it was a big turn on, but the problem was that after it was said, I started to more and more smell the smell, and then of course my hand was covered in shit because he wasn't clean, and it was pretty much a turn off because of that. So I didn't really get into that for a long time. Myself being top man all the time, and all my friends said, you've never been fucked? And it's like, no. You don't know what you're missing. You've never been fisted? No. You don't know what you're missing. And so finally, about 5 years ago, I said, you know, everybody tells me how incredible it is to have your whole played with and fingered and all these other fears that I had about somebody putting stuff in my hole. And so I said, now's the time to start doing that. And sort of coming to Papa Tony and the demos and things, I really started to get more courageous. And I had a guy in Recon who came up with this portable sling to break me in, knowing that I had never been fisted. And I dated a guy for about 2-3 months that was big into fisting up north where he used to live and had weekly fisting parties. And we watched a fisting video, and I sort of fisted him a little bit. But so, you know, I've been trying to get accustomed to my hole and the pleasures, and met a guy in Orange County, this incredible guy who gives the best incredible 45-minute to an hour rim jobs that are incredible, but he is also into fisting and wanted to fist me and wanted me to fist him. And so we tried to do it, but I'm just too tight. So he told me, hey, this is the size dildo you start with. Here's the next size. Here's the next size. And you just got to just keep going and breaking yourself in to get comfortable with that. And when I finally got the dildo to go all the way in, it was incredible. I mean, it was incredible. And I had been denying myself this for years and years and years, thinking it wasn't the manly, macho thing to do, to play with your hole. It was like bullshit. So I'm sort of playing with all of this, learning how to be fisted and how to fist. Hopefully find a partner, or maybe, you know, I could do it both ways, me fist him and he fist him.
Very good.
My name is Jay, and my first time was back in 71. I was on leave. I went to, I think, the one way, and one time guy just came up to me and grabbed my hand and took out his car, and we went to 8709.
Oh, yeah.
And he had me sit my arm up like this, and he sat on me. And took the past my elbow, and I ripped my thumb up. And that's my introduction. I've loved it ever since.
As I was saying before you got here, Jay, this is never meant to be a monologue. If there's something you want to say where it occurs to you, just get my attention and say it. I want this to be a group effort. So, please.
Stuart, I have fisted people since I was probably around 21 or 22, first time with them. And generally it's been always with people that are really experienced. I haven't had anybody new, so this name 101 probably would be relevant in that case, but usually it's people that know what they're doing, know what they can take, and they can take a lot of your shit. I've double-fisted and fisted up to about here, and usually with J-Lube, it's like, I think that's the stuff they use for birthing cattle. And it's pretty messy. But no, I enjoy it. I enjoy it, especially seeing what, you know, they're experiencing and the ecstasy that they're experiencing. And like you were saying, you don't know what you're missing. I do know what I'm missing. I want to be in that place, and I'm trying to get there, but it's very difficult for me. Someday.
Well, late 1970s, and I meet this guy at the bar, right? And I'm all of 20-something, and he's way older. That was what going in my head, way older. And we go back to his place and everything, and then, you know, the same old thing. And then he says, you know, would you like to fist me? What? Fist? I don't know what it is or anything. So he proceeds to show me. So, you know, in goes our arm. He tells me how to do it and everything. And he's having a great old time. And he's obviously done this before. And he's pretty loose, as I discovered later. But the thing that really got me is that if you go to a certain place, you can feel his heartbeat.
Yes.
Okay. And that was way cool.
you get up by the aorta or something.
Yeah, there's a big, big vein. Mm-hmm. Just right by the pubic bone.
Yeah.
It's on some guys, it's very easy to reach. And it's also really easy to damage, so you got to watch out for that.
Well, like I said, this guy is not new to it. Okay? Mm-hmm. He's been doing it for a long time. He showed me all the ways and means, you know, he explained that not everybody's like him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, him and a couple of his friends and all that. But, you know, after that, I didn't really do it again until the 1990. Because that's when I started working for the Crypt, and that's when I started getting involved again. Because I always wanted to, you know. And that's when I started getting involved again, and, you know, the play party here, the person there, talking to this person, talking to that person, a little of experience and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, the basics, like anything when it comes to fucking, is that, you know, not everybody's the same. Some people quicker, some people slower, some people, you know, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of knowing how fast, how slow, and if you're really smart, you'll pay attention to the fact that not everybody's intestines are the same.
Yes.
And that's very important.
Yeah.
Also, you know, keep yourself manicured.
Yeah.
And always the right tools. And he was talking about the lube and all that. Of course, way back then, it was Crisco. You know?
Oh, yeah.
That was life, Crisco. But now they've got so many. I mean, try one, try the other. One of them will work.
Last time we had the fisting, the demo over at Pete's house, there was a doctor in the group, and he said the Crisco is good, except for people that have high cholesterol, because you're getting close. You're actually, they're absorbing the cholesterol in that.
Well, there can't be cholesterol. It's vegetable oil.
Right.
But see, in this book, Fisting, it talks about that. By a doctor, it says your lower intestines do not absorb.
Right.
Only your upper intestines.
So this wasn't just, well, I heard it, so I just thought.
I know. I was under the same exception.
Cholesterol doesn't come from plants. It only comes from animals. Mm-hmm. And it's vegetable oil.
Oh, mm-hmm. But it's good to. So I won't repeat this. I'm very glad to know this.
And also, I prefer not to use Crisco whenever I'm fucking somebody because it's shortening.
doesn't it stain the sheets? And you can't get it out or something.
Depends.
There was one applicant.
No, it's silicone lube that does that.
Okay.
Yes, please.
William, and basically, fisting has always been really taboo to me. I still have like a lot of ex-lovers that are pretty easy to say hi to, but they're, you know, 3,000 miles away. So they've asked me before if I was into fisting. And of course, I, like, spent 95% of my sexual life as a top. So it would kind of make sense that, you know, finger after finger after finger, then, well, you know. But to me, I didn't even know that it was sort of possible until even the fetish was brought up to me, you know, online.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asked, and I'm like, you know. So it's taboo. I want to learn more. I should learn more. I need to be as educated about any kind of sexual whatever as possible. So mm-hmm. That's why I'm here, I guess.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Well, being here has certainly taught me a whole lot of interesting stuff in the last year or so, and it was here that I was labeled a latent bottom, and that's worked out really well. But I have to admit, I am totally clueless about anything and everything having to do with fisting. It seems to have just not so much gone past me, but everything else, all the other cool stuff that I've learned and do, this isn't one of them. And so, as with all the other cool stuff that I've learned, I'm looking very forward to learning about this, because it's like an empty slate. There's there's nothing positive or negative or anything, any kind of a bias. It's like, so what is this? That's my story.
This is going pretty mainstream now, isn't it? From what I've read, it's...
Maybe in terms of the general public, but within the kink community, it's always been way
not
developed.
In the kink, but in general community, I've seen it's
there's a lot more
popular.
Knowledge about it. Also, there's a lot more straight folks that are into it now.
Yes.
I mean, that, back in the old days, I almost never ran into straight guys, straight men that wanted to be fisted, but that's become very popular.
Right.
You know?
I guess it's my turn.
I'm Dante. I've got about 8 years of a fisting as a top, pretty much only. I don't know what to say. Just, I learned a lot, seen a lot, been around quite a bit. I must say the best lube mixture when you're fisting is J-Lube and Crisco mixed together, shaken in a bottle, and poured from a little spray, a little sprout, a little spray sport bottle. That tends to work the best as far as fisting. And I also was able to incorporate a baseball bat with the fist into someone's hole a few times. So I say I'm pretty experienced. I've done it a lot.
Because of your combination of
everything, yes. And this is the knowledge and the person was able to relax with me coaching them. Because they were experienced bottom as well.
Right.
So I was able to.
What combination are you mixing with the J-Lube and the Crisco half and half?
Water. It's more J-Lube and water, and you take maybe like a couple or a spoonful of Crisco, and I would shake it up in the sports bottle.
And are you getting it to dissolve?
Yeah.
Okay.
And let it set. And I'll let it, I'll prep the bottle maybe 2 hours before they come over or I go to their house.
Because one thing that I saw was they take, I guess, Crisco and they make little balls and they kind of freeze it.
Right.
But you don't want it ice cold because it'll freeze your ass.
Mm-hmm.
But you want it to slip in and then dissolve. Mm-hmm. That way it will actually go in and you can get it in deep.
It makes it more like if you was to melt like Elmer's glue, that's the kind of mixture you'll have.
Elmer's glue.
Like kind of a wet.
Yeah.
Wet, like kind of a good,
right.
Nice, consistent. And it works really well.
What about drying up faster? Does it last?
No, it don't dry. It stays very loose.
Because that's the biggest problem, drying up.
Exactly.
Stickiness, from what I read.
Because you want that slipperiness for the bat to go in as well,
right.
As the fist. So.
Right.
It's whatever the bottom wants. Period.
Yeah. Well, when you're the top, you want to try some different things with that person.
Yeah,
what
you want. I'm going to just get spit as far as I'm concerned.
You'll be bleeding for years if you didn't use glue.
Yeah.
You will bleed for years. So.
Yeah, that's what all the books say.
In Paris, in that bar, the lube, it was string.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, and they dip it in and just plenty of it. It was just string and messy, but they had a lot of paper towels. And I mean, the stations, this bar was set up for, it has since closed, but it was a famous bar. Hard as hell to find, I mean, on Dark Street. But that was just weird. One night it was one way, and then the other night it's like, what happened in that bathroom? The wall came down from it.
And that was in Paris?
Yeah.
They get smashed.
Well, you gotta do it by the loop. They're all fucking in the bushes anyway.
Okay.
So,
Brian, I haven't done fisting before. I did come to the demo. It's been maybe half a year back now.
About that.
Yeah. Saw it done, so I learned a bit there. I think I'd be willing to try it as a top. I think I would need quite a lot of practice to have, be able to do it as a bottom.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, let's see. So, I'm Brett, and I don't remember the first time I heard about fisting, but I imagine I probably thought it sounded horrifying. But, you know, I have grown a lot in my kink interests, and this is, again, not something I have a lot of experience with, or really much of any, other than just playing around and exploring, and I have done that with boys and with Brian, of course, and with fingers and trying to be gentle and kind of, you know, learning to kind of help train and talk about how to get a boy ready and how to, like, be more comfortable with their own hole and with mine, and I've done that with myself as well. So, because I really appreciated that demo again about that Slut Bottom Chris, right? Was that his name? Right. And he just sucked in that. It looked like a stick of butter, but it was Crisco, and he just whoop, just sucked in. I think he put two of those in. And then everybody, well, not everybody, but several men took a turn and just went on up there, and, you know, there was like this like sucking in action after he was loose, which was happened very quickly, but he's also very experienced, so he could take a fist just like nothing.
He took like eight of them that night.
He took, and I think he took two from one of our brothers, Ariel, his smaller hands, just took them both in. And anyway, I thought it was fascinating. I was really fascinated all night. My takeaway, though, was learning just more about, okay, things just about your hole and, you know, how to use it, how to work with a boy, how to take your time, and how to be a good top. So even with fucking, you know, I don't just jam it right in, right? It's about working with their hole and, you know, making it enjoyable for the bottom. And that was, yeah, and I took that a lot away from that. But haven't really gotten into fisting. Maybe now I'm ready for that, right? I've gotten into a lot of other things, so this is one of those, you know, things that's
out there. Yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to add something. The guy in Orange County that I've seen is trying to break me in and all that, he and his partner have been together like 12, 15 years, and they're both into fisting big time, and they fist each other every night.
Oh, wow.
He fists
wow.
him, and he fists him, and when they're separate, and his partner's down in San Diego, then his partner had a room set up here for fisting, and my friend that I go see has the whole separate playroom set up with slang and everything for fisting, and he's got repeat customers all the time because lots of people that are into the fisting. But for the two partners to be so into it that they just fist each other every night.
Wow. That's got to be rough on your internals, though.
Yeah.
In terms of the internal bacteria and stuff?
Well, my friend was a registered nurse, so he was pretty knowledgeable. But the scary thing about fisting to me is that he, as experienced as he is, somebody fisted him and a fingernail, whatever, and he was out of commission for about 3 or 4 months because he was torn up by the person getting carried away.
Yeah.
And were there any infections right there?
I don't remember. I just know that he said that he couldn't be fisted for 3 or 4 months while he healed.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go ahead and take ourselves a 10-minute break.
Yep.
All right.
Lots to come. Oh, yeah. We're going to pass around a hat. Who has a hat? There you go. All right, the purpose of passing around the hat, it's entirely optional. We're showing our appreciation for the use of the space.
So speaking of that, this is the leftover money.
So let's give it to
that. Sure.
Yeah. All right, so. All right, this is the leftover from the church.
Before you do that.
Good job, brother.
Hey, Tony.
Yes.
So before you do that, has Boy Kevin been reimbursed for the cards he made for the
I don't know. That's a good question. Let me ask. Thank you. Glad somebody thinks of that. I didn't. All right. Welcome back, gentlemen. Thank you. That was fun. Now, be aware that when it's really difficult to get people to sit down and calm down after a break, it's not really a problem. I love to see it because everybody's so happy. Everybody's so glad to be around each other. It's a joyful noise. You know, so it's okay if it runs a little bit late, you guys, because this is all about bonding with each other. And I love to see everybody being so good to each other. Thank you. Okay. So, we've talked about different levels of experience and curiosity. Yeehaw. Well, I'm going to talk about the time that I intentionally gave bad instructions for fisting.
Whoa.
But I was on the ship. I was on the ship. And this hot little Italian, just the cutest guy, and he was getting ready to go out on the town. He was putting on skin-tight jeans. Mm. Really showed his beautiful little ass. Tight tank top. He had lager boots on. And to top it all off, he took a red hanky, folded it carefully, and put it in his right back pocket. And so then I said to him, why are you wearing that? And he says, oh, it's what all the stylish guys are wearing. I mean, I see it all the time. I said, you know what it means, right? And he says, it means something? He says, what does it mean? I said, fist fucking. And then I realized, I don't really want to explain it to him. He says, you mean like this? And I said, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I drew it at the end of that. So just to continue lightening the mood, I'm going to tell you about Piggy George. Piggy George, I could take my arm up to here, just the sweetest guy. But he had not come out to his family. And his mom was going to come and visit. So he called on his friends, and we went over there, and we very carefully straightened up his house. We got rid of the porn. We pulled down the raunchy posters, and all that other stuff. But we forgot one detail, is that his mother was going to make pancakes on Sunday morning, and she brings out the Crisco, and she gave him hell. She says, use a spatula. There's finger grooves in it. What's his hair? All right. Ancient history, funny things. So anyway, so as far as what I was explaining to one of our new brothers here, there's a difference between hard skills and soft skills. We will be covering hard skills specifically during the practice next week. I'm going to talk about the soft skills aspect. So what is the difference? Soft skills, as I define it, are life wisdom. And that's why I want to hear from you guys. Because I'm going to verbally describe what I do with somebody who is really kind of scared of my fist. But they want it, they want it, they want it, but they're terrified. One, I do not use drugs of any kind. No poppers. Nothing. Why? Because I know that relaxation doesn't come from force. When people are tweaked out on some hideous fucking drug, they don't realize how much damage they're doing to themselves. And it's stretching and ripping and all the rest of that shit. I have never done that. Ever. I don't do that. What I do instead is I cause up here to relax, because that's where relaxation lives. You can take a shot of anesthetic and shoot somebody in the butthole with it and slide your whole arm up there, because it'll just, relax. Okay? Well, there's several things that cause relaxation that don't require anesthetic or drugs. Okay? One, a large amount of the reason for cleaning out is not just because of aesthetics. If somebody is douching, yes, it's all very nice to not to have poop, erupting all over the living room carpet. Okay, that's fine. I get that. That we can agree upon that point. Yeah, really. Hershey's. Yeah. Uh-huh. But anyways, but see, at the base of the spine, this is what I've learned. I have no idea how scientific this is, but this is how I was taught. That at the base of the spine, there is a clump of nerves. Its whole job is to make sure that you don't shit while you walk. Okay? That means that if there's poop, your butthole's going to tighten. Because they don't want you to go pooping all over everything while you're walking. You want it to be a conscious process. Well, if you're douched out, it's less likely to clamp up on you. Okay? The biggest problem has to do with the logical part of the human brain, as far as the bottom is concerned. So I'm going to be talking entirely from the top's viewpoint. Okay? What I didn't like, I loved Slepbrotum Chris. He's great. He's probably going to be featured in some way next week. We're still negotiating stuff. But if you blinked, you would miss him taking a fist. I'm like, oh, there it is. How'd that get there? Ta-da! The problem is, it doesn't show anything on how to do seduction. And that's what I'm going to be talking about now. Causing someone who's scared of this great big fucking thing to be able to take it and thank me gladly afterwards and not suffer afterwards. How does that happen? I have to fucking seduce him. So this is what I'm going to be talking about. If I am taking... Okay, first of all, we'll talk about the obvious, about the fingernails. Next week I'm going to bring a great big wad of emery boards. Now, Chris likes glass, you know, fingernail files, and that's fine. I have a few of them myself. But emery boards work just fine. Back in the 70s, you could go to a particular bar up in San Francisco that's long since closed, and instead of buckets of peanuts, they'd have these glasses full of these emery boards. And people sit there and eye each other while they follow each other, you know, follow their nails.
I like the way he did
it. That's right. He's got good style. Why don't you get some for me, too, please? Thank you. So the idea is I need to conquer the left side of their brain, the logical portion of their brain, because that is the guardian of the sphincter more than anything else. The left side of the brain, the logical side, says, oh my God, I don't know if I can do this. Oh my God, what if he thinks my dick's too small? Oh my God, what if he thinks that I'm too fat or not hairy enough or blah, 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 blah. Okay. My favorite style of technique will shock and surprise you. I talk. Me, of all people, okay? Me. Because, again, in the absence of information, the logical mind fills up the gap with noise, with history, with fears, with, you know, all sorts of shit. So, if I take the time to take ownership of the conversation where I drive how it flows with my words, very good, brother, thank you. If I drive it, they don't have time to get all tied up in knots. My seduction technique is to talk dirty in the best possible way. Oh, okay, this feels really good. I love this part, but only be true. Okay, bad porn dialogue is not dirty talk. Yeah, fuck yeah, take that big fist. Yeah, fuck yeah, take that big fist. It doesn't mean anything. It's noise. And their logical mind goes drifting again into its fear and its supposition and its biases. So if I'm talking to them, I'm always true from moment to moment to moment. I'm time slicing. I'm in the present. I'm in the now. Now, now, now. So that I'm not thinking about tomorrow's laundry. I'm not thinking about where I'd rather be. I'm being present with that man. If I'm not in the mood, I won't play with him. But if I'm going to be with him, I'm going to commit. And I'm going to go for it. And if I don't get the fist in there, I'm okay with it. No harm, no foul. We gave it a good shot. But honestly, brothers, really? This has been up over 300 bucks. And even guys who've been terrified of it, 100% of the time, take it and gladly. Okay, so we'll talk about that. And they have no repercussions.
Are you looking at me?
I am, right now. Let's all point at it. Let's all point at Stuart. No. No, just you were looking directly at me and I caught your eye. Anyways, if I am sticking a finger, a very carefully smoothed, nailed finger, okay, up somebody's butt with lube, I'm accomplishing many things simultaneously. This will be on the test, okay? I'm seeing how receptive they are. What that means is how easily they relax. If they're tight as hell, they don't trust me. And I take that personally, and I will do whatever I can to make them trust me. Because if they're tight, it's because they haven't had enough practice and they haven't been trained using operant conditioning. Operant conditioning is what they do at the zoo to train elephants to stick their hind leg through the hole in the wall so they can have their nails trimmed and have their blood tested or whatever. Or have the mandrill stick his arm through it to get insulin. Operant conditioning is where you only use positive reinforcement. Only. You'd be surprised how many guys don't get that. If I'm fisting somebody for the first time, and they're scared to hell of this, but I gently and lovingly give them positive reinforcement. Okay, you're going to have to breathe me in a little bit and relax. You haven't done it yet. Hang on. Okay, ready? One more try. No, not yet. Okay, there you got it. Here's what happened. Okay, I don't know how well you can see this, but I want you to look at my nose. I'm flaring my nostrils like that. How many of you guys think you can do that? Raise your hand. Right. Mm-hmm. I guarantee every man who did not raise your hand, if you sat in front of the mirror and you flexed your nostrils, you know, do this and that, until you finally get it, you'll know it for the rest of your life because you figured out where the switch is in your brain that controls that. That's just as true of your butthole. We don't have classes that teach you how to relax. All we have is, that's where I poop. You know? Okay. Yeah, let me interrupt some of the room. So, as the top, it is my fucking job to teach him to relax using positive reinforcement only. Where I'll say, okay, I need you to relax a little bit more. Okay, I'm very good try, but that's not quite it. Okay, now just push out a little bit as if you're trying to poop. Okay, there you go, there. Now, just let it wait. Just hang on. Now, if you start going in and they go, ow, 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 it doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. It just means that they're spasming. It just means you stop and let the spasming pass. You might even pull out. And then you do it again. Second time, they're not going to spasm like that. They're really not. You have to be patient. You just have to take your time. You're not trying to win a war. You're trying to seduce them. So that the more that... Yes?
I thought that was the real reason to spend a good 5-10 minutes of rimming. To get the bottom to relax and feel really comfortable.
That works.
And excited.
Only
and
five
excited.
Minutes.
And, well, you know, the longer the better.
I'm usually done for half an hour.
It's ready.
Thank you, brother. Yes?
Believe me, nobody loves a good one-hour rimming like I do.
Oh, yeah.
But it's still, some guys don't relax.
Right.
After that. You really, really do have to take your time and patience and positive reinforcement, like I said, and start with each finger as you go along. And take your time. I mean, it's all about, like you say, you're saying you're winning a war or not winning a race, you know.
Right.
Take your time.
But
thank
I think, you, I think, you know, the butt play with Gilbert or whatever the toys probably is important as well for
right.
the bottom to kind of get used to.
Of course. Absolutely, and I do that.
Chris was saying that, you know, when he was giving this talk, that, you know, he gets out of if he's out of practice, he has to start from square one.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I want to make a very important point. To get back to the previous one, I didn't finish. Big surprise. As I had said earlier to our new brother, there comes a time in a man's life when he switches from wanting quantity to wanting quality. What this is all about, everything I'm going to be talking about, everything that he's going to be talking about, you're going to be talking about, is the idea that investing in someone is worth it. Taking the time to love somebody. Taking the time to treasure them. Whether you're going to marry them or not is beside the point. During the time you're present with them, this is a valuable human being, and you're going to take the time because it's worth it. Because the investment pays off. Okay? Not just in terms of the fisting, but in terms of the connection that you have with each other. So that's what I'm preaching. So let's get back to the multiple reasons for sticking a lubed finger up somebody's butthole. One, as I said, you want to see how receptive they are. If they're tight as a drum, it means you got some work to do. Okay. Two, I'm looking for the prostate. Prostate is the number one thing you want to keep an eye on. You really, really do. Prostate is full of nerve endings. That's a joy buzzer, okay? Your finger's not long enough to get to the second sphincter, which we'll cover, which is the second joy buzzer. Okay, but another reason for feeling around, okay, because the prostate's at the other end of your dick, but it's somewhere different on each man. It might be in this close, you know, from the butthole, or this close, or whatever. You got to find it. You got to aim for it, okay? Usually with using this knuckle. So we'll talk more about that. You want to see whether or not there's any poop in there. You might want to go do a little bit more work. You know, go douche. Okay, you know, I'm willing to wait. I'm not freaked out. Just go take care of it. I'm going to make sure that there's plenty of lube in there. The joke back in the 70s was, if it's not dripping off the ceiling, there's not enough lube.
If it's what?
If it's not dripping off the ceiling, there's not enough lube. Now, lube is good when you're doing a lot of fisting. And you're just checking to see exactly how he's being about it. If he's rigidly uncertain and all that, you got a lot of relaxing to do with him. Because it's not going to be any fun if he's not relaxing into it. Now, many people will take drugs to try and artificially get to that space. That is a cheat. That is a fake.
Even pot?
I don't have any judgment on pot. I'm not going to use pot because I like to be in control of my, you know, whatever. If the other guy does it, that's fine. But see, the reason why I'm against drugs, okay, I've been in the midst of the hardest of the hardcore shit back in the 70s, and it is somebody trying to take a shortcut to ecstasy. It's nicer if you have the real thing. I would rather have 1% of true, honest-to-God, man-to-man ecstasy than 100% of the fake shit. That's me opinionating. Okay. So anyways, so I've taken the time to relax him because, again, this up here, well, the logical, whatever, side, left brain, is the controller over the sphincter, really. See, when I fist somebody, I'm not stretching them. I'm not ripping them. I'm not causing them to have to wear a diaper for the next few months. I am merely causing them to relax. The way that I do that, I might do it with different sized dildos, but also I'm really good. I'm a 10th degree black belt at prostate massage. Because again, we want that man to really relish the idea of getting his butthole played with, especially men who have not been used to it. You have to train them to like it. It's a positive feedback loop. You reward them. That's what I'm currently doing with one of my slaves right now. He's turning into a real butt piggy because he had no idea how good it could be. And that's the work that I'm doing with him right now. I have no desire to teach him to be fisted. I like him nice and tight. But there you go. You know, thereby refuting what I said earlier. But anyways, moving on. Yes?
Does anybody know if you took something like an Aleve? Because if you have a little back pain or whatever, you take an Aleve, and then you just really feel you're in a good space, would taking something like an Aleve an hour before you're going to be fisted maybe make you less likely to be more tight and sensitive, or would it match you?
Or as to his point, a little arthritis in your back, you know, and you're bent over and you get stiff and sore, to help relieve that so you don't get tight too, maybe?
It's all theory to me. I have no idea.
Well, it's all an individual.
Remember, most of the shit I learned 38 years ago. So there's new technology.
What about drinking? Like if someone is drunk, how?
Oh, I won't play with them.
Just don't, right?
I can say, come back when you're not drunk.
Too dangerous.
Well, it's horrible. How are you going to know if they're giving you a true reaction? How are you going to know whether or not you've harmed them?
I don't even trick, let alone fist that drunk.
I would almost think that I could see myself being really drunk and getting way too crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's not sexy to me.
And then, just something you get. I mean, if someone is doing it to me, is what I'm saying. It's
right.
Like, I could see me just going way too far.
Yeah.
And probably ended up in the hospital.
Responsible time. The whole mantra, you know, for the leather kink community is safe, sane, and consensual. Mm-hmm. Intoxicated is not sane.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's a real sore topic.
Right. Well,
for a lot of people.
It's, exactly.
If we care about each other, we're not going to put distance between each other. Because this is very intimate. You can't get much more fucking intimate than, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah.
How can anybody even do that if they were drunk? I couldn't even imagine.
I'm sure that it's possible, but you have to understand, again, my bias. I have a very strong reaction when you bring up the question. Because, like I said, I would be the only sober person in a large fuck party, fist party, you know, everything going on around me. And those people are dead now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not. And that's not a direct thing, but I feel very strongly that it had a feature in my survival.
Well, and you're most likely not to stop, probably, or say stop if something's not right.
Yeah. If I can't read somebody, I don't want to play with them.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. I want to connect on this level, not this. Yes.
Because of my fear of being flogged, when I went to the first demo party, I was scared shitless. I watched Papa Tony flog, and I thought, oh, I just can't do this. January, a month later, I thought, fuck it, you got to do it. And do it, Papa Tony. He knows what he's doing. And it was an incredible experience. And I think this place and the demo party at Slave Keats were wonderful places for us to feel comfortable.
Yes.
We have witnesses around, if something's getting out of hand, you've got somebody that's going to step in and say, hey, you know, you need to calm down a little bit. You're getting a little too intense, whatever. It's a real safe place to try things. And so the fisting, which a lot of us seem to have a little fear of, this is an incredible opportunity this week, next week, and the monthly things thank upstairs you. To really try it with lots of other people around, your brothers that will be there for you to help protect you.
Normally, I would end up with this, but thank you for the reminder. I'll just say it now. There isn't a single man in this room that I will not work with as much as you want to help you become better at this on either end of it. I'm absolutely committed to everyone's excellence. I mean, really. If you know me, I do not do that half-ass. This is just a nice excuse to introduce the concept, but I will gladly teach in whatever way is necessary until you are really good at it, okay? So that offer remains open to everybody with no qualification. The reason why is because what we need is a culture of men who play with joy and with confidence. And I've learned that when that happens, we have ripples of wonderful influence that happen way outside of our experience in, you know, in other cities as a result, when a man moves away and suddenly becomes, he lands like a bomb because he's so popular, you know, that then he teaches what he's learned. And see, the reason why I work so hard on this, and I'm going to finish this, then get back to the topic, but the reason why I work so hard on this is because what I see around me is what we had back in the old days. And that's why I created the group, because I love this kind of brotherhood, and I starved for it for decades when we fell apart, when everybody did so much dying. Now, you guys are exactly what I was looking for, and thank you. And that's why I'm here, and that's why I'm so committed. That's why I care so deeply. So thank you for letting me share that. Now, away from the sidebar, back to the main topic. If I am seducing this man, if I am helping him get over his fears, so like if you guys had been watching, only a few people were watching the sideshow off to the side when we did the Fisting 101 with Slip Bottom Chris teaching, I didn't really like it that much, like I said, that he didn't talk from the top's perspective. That's why I wanted to do this. Because in the other room, when it became time for everybody to go dun 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 plunge, dun 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 plunge, you know, one guy after another with Chris, I was in the other room working with the chef, and he hadn't been fisted in 2 years and had never taken a fist as big as mine. And what I did is that I just greased him up good, and I talked to him, but also to the people around me, saying, now this is what I'm doing, and I'll be doing this next week. And I say, okay, we're doing two fingers, oh, very smooth, very nice. Now, the way that you test whether your fingernails are smooth enough is with your tongue. Nothing else. You don't go like this because your calluses do not detect. The inside of your butthole is just as delicate as the tip of your tongue. So if you are like this and you feel any edge at all, you got more work to do. Smooth it out, smooth it out, smooth it out. You got to work on your calluses. You go down to Rite Aid and you go pick up... those, they're like clippers, you know, where you squeeze it and it comes together and slightly curved. Those are designed to get rid of cuticles and rough edges on your calluses and stuff like that. I use them all the time. I haven't stuck my fist in somebody in probably 6 months, but I keep my nails real smooth all the time, just in case. It's a good habit, you know. But see, the reason why I do it, again, is that I'll get under a magnifying glass, and I'll make sure that I'm getting all the details and stuff because my side's not so good. But then again, always test every nail with your tongue.
Even if you're going to use gloves?
Or I can't speak to that. I can't speak to that. I never use gloves.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not my specialty. It's what I've been doing all along. Yes.
Well, as big as you are, if a very small person came to you, would you know automatically... there's probably no way that I should fist him because I've got such big hands. Or do you feel that you know exactly how to play with even a very small person's hold?
A small person doesn't really matter. It's like small guys have a big dick, a big guy have a small dick, so you can't really do it by body.
Everybody's different.
Yeah.
I mean, every body is different.
Yeah, every
hold. I do have one very biased little sidebar here. The guys that I... there's three or four men that I have fisted up to my armpit. Mm-hmm. This is a long ape-like arm here. Mm-hmm. They tend to be very tall, slender men with big dicks. They never get all the way hard. I have no idea what the hell's going on with that. But I mean, some of the biggest dicks I've ever seen on men, and they never use them on anything. I mean, besides they'd have to use a broom to stuff it into somebody's ass if they wanted to fuck somebody, because they never get all the way hard. But oh my God, can they take a goddamn fist? Never understood that. Now, so how on earth can somebody take it up to here, whereas other people, you can barely get it in, you know, once you pop them, you know, once you get your full fist in? It has to do with the fact that some people's bone structure is different. The pubic bone can block you. So everybody's built different. Some people, it's straight through. Some people, it goes down under the pubic bone and then up, and you have no hope of ever going beyond that. You know, some people are different. Some people... Okay, so let's talk about physiology. I'm not going to do what Chris did. I'm not going to hand around little diagrams, because everybody's different. But the idea is that we got the outer sphincter. The control for that is up here, not down there. The more that we can convince up here that things are going great, the more it relaxes. Okay? Once we get in, we've got the prostate just right there. It's under the other end of your dick, sort of shaped like a walnut. Gets the more they need to come, the more rounded and firm it gets. But it's full of nerve endings, and it's very nice to play with. It's a great way to train somebody to eroticize their butthole, to play with their prostate. I'll use a circular motion. I'll go just... Let's say that this is the prostate and here's the butthole here. I will rub right here in a circular motion. It's very, very stimulating. There's lots of nerve endings there. Or I'll play with the whole thing. Okay? Now, but the idea is to get the stimulation. I say, okay, now if I'm playing with this prostate, I don't want him playing with his dick yet. Because as soon as he grabs his dick, the butthole clamps down to make it feel strong, better. And that's okay. That's not bad. It's part of the training. I say, leave your dick alone. I'm going in. Okay, now grab your dick and jack it hard. And I'll be playing with the prostate real hard, and they'll be jacking on it and going, oh, hey, this does feel good. We want to teach them to eroticize their butthole. It's not just a poop place. It is a place. It's okay. It's a crane fly. It's looking for mosquitoes. They're harmless. Anyways, so then the idea is to keep playing with it. We do two fingers. We check to see how relaxed they are. If it's not loose, you got more work to do. You might have to have them come back after they've played with certain dildos. If you're really dedicated to them, take them down to the damn crypt and shop with them and say, okay, this is the size I need you to get to, you know, so let's get you up to that point and then come back and then we'll work on the next portion. Because, again, it's all part of training. Okay. Well, if I haven't got them three fingers, okay, that's a pretty darn good thing. Most people don't. You know, they just want a dick. They want a big, wide dick. That's about three fingers worth, at least on this big, hammy hand. So when I'm playing with them, I'm going in further. I'm rewarding their behavior. I'll have them change position. I'll have them go, you know, four, you know, hands and knees on the bed with, you know, lube here and towel underneath it. And I'll just keep playing with them. And I'll talk dirty, you know, saying how much I love it. And I always do. I really love it. And it turns them on. And so then I'm getting more into it, and then the four fingers are the hard part. Not so much because, you know, of the size, you know, yes, that is a thing, but what makes the four fingers different is that, one, my hand does not collapse well. I also have to be able to get past this knuckle. The process of getting past this knuckle is called popping, right? Pop, okay? It doesn't just go bam, bam, except I'm somebody who's already, you know, very practiced and very easy to relax. I have to change position. I'll change angle gladly because, again, everybody's butt is different. Some people, it's better from this angle. Some people, better from this angle. Some people, from this. I will keep doing it. But what I do is I say, okay, I'm about to change position. And I'll do it slowly. I'll come around. They go, oh. I say, okay, now I'm fine. I'll just hold it there for a second. Okay, now here we go. And then I'll go a little further. So let's say that I'm successful. You know, I'm painting a very rosy picture here where, you know, I'm able to pop them. Once I've popped them, I stop and let them just kind of soak it in, just kind of get used to it. But as I said, this knuckle right here, this right here, that goes directly to the prostate. That's why I wanted to know where it is. Because again, I'll say, grab your dick. And I'll play with just the prostate using this knuckle right here. Again, eroticizing, giving them positive reinforcement that this was a good idea. Yes?
Is the prostate on this side? Or
it's on the other end of your dick.
Right, so yeah. Then Okay, so you're going in that. Okay, then you would be hitting it if you went in this way.
If his legs are up, this way. If he's on his back. We have a sling. We'll be demonstrating
Can
that
I
next week.
Yes. Just ask you one question.
Certainly.
It's stepping back. You talked about cleaning your fingernail.
Yes.
Or clipping your fingernail.
And smoothing them down.
But do you wash your hands with, like, antibiotic? Or do you do anything?
I've never done
nails
that.
Nails clean them or anything?
No. Okay. And I want you guys to understand that you can have fisting classes where they'll do that for an hour and a half. I only know my own experience is that I've never suffered for it. Never. Yes.
I've seen a lot more videos recently where fucking is going with the bottom on the side and fucking. So in terms of fisting, everything seems to be in a sling. Can you be fisted on your side?
Like this?
Well, yeah, I suppose. Yeah, it's a very relaxed position.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, when you have a, you know, the scope put up your butt, they put you in that position. It's a very easy one for people to relax in. The reason for the sling is so that you can relax all of your muscles because you don't have to hold your legs up. You just, the sling will hold them up for you, which brings us to the obvious question. What is the difference between a butch marine and a sissy marine? The butch marine holds his own legs up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, sorry, I had to throw that in, yes.
I was going to mention earlier, but they brought it up again, about relaxation and positioning. It's been my experience, just like fucking. Some are easier with the legs up, others with the legs down, and others with the legs sideways.
Yep.
You know, it's
everybody's
all about
built different.
Each one, and each time you have to feel your way around and, you know, find out where it's more comfortable.
Yeah. It makes them happy. That's all that matters.
Absolutely. So, who is in charge during fisting? The bottom.
But you know, they know it.
Yeah. Because if they're not happy, you stop. A considerate talk stops. If they're not happy, yes.
Yeah, but what about in the bottom is the experience?
Right.
Right. Well, see that you have to have the judgment to be able to think, he's kind of weirded out, I have to calm him down, I have to reassure him, and then I want to keep going. Because I'm not going to have him stop. I'm going to have him take a break.
Mm-hmm.
That's valuable. That's fine. You know? That's perfectly valid. He needs a breather. He needs to stop and absorb, you know, what had just happened because it's more than he's ever done before. That's valid. But if he says, whoa, this is it, you're not going to say, take it, bitch! No. Because you'll get a very bad reputation in a very short time. Because that's assault when you take it further than they're ready to take. Yes?
Is there a certain way to stop, or how would you stop, or like, et cetera, if you got that going on, and like, how is the safest way to
come out?
Yeah.
What I do is I say, okay, I'm not just going to pull it out. I want you to breathe me out. I'm going to take it gentle. I'm going to take it slow. And I'm going to make sure that you're comfortable throughout the process. I use those words. That is very reassuring to them.
So
that I'm not.
Push.
Oh yeah.
It's almost like having a baby.
Yeah. Help. Yeah.
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 Is
and you don't.
Is there ever a possibility you might get stuck?
Never happened. No. Then again, I have. You know, I'm strong like Abel. You know.
Okay, you're excellent about after 4 or 5 minutes of walking, checking in.
Yes.
Different sensations, your beard, nibbling in the ear, whatever. When you fist, do you also stop the actual motion at times and lean and do other things? For
generally, no, because it's not. It's pretty awkward, you know, when you're doing it from a distance. What I do instead is that I'm watching them. I'm watching their face. I'm watching their body language. I'm watching
their
beating, their pulse. You can feel it. I'm watching their breathing patterns. I'm watching to see whether they're still present with me, or if they're off in some la la land or whatever. And that's fine. There's a lot of factors. The whole idea, though, is to be sensitive, and it's okay to be sensitive. We're not in a porno video, really. You know, porno video, yeah, take it, bitch. Well, that's all very nice, but in a realistic viewpoint, that's not a good way to have a first date. Yes.
Yeah. Like you said earlier, you know, it's all about, oh, you're doing great. This looks so hot. You know, this is, you know, you look so, you know, happy. You know, all that stuff. You know, turns them on. They want to do more.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So now let's talk about the second sphincter. Okay.
First one is right at the butthole. The second one is just a little bit in.
It's usually about that far.
Okay, so you're talking about the farther one up.
Yeah, about this far in.
Okay.
Okay. So, I mentioned this the other day, and I did not get a good reaction, but I'm going to say it again anyways. The reason why some men become size queens is because of the second sphincter. If you've got a dick at least 7 inches, you can generally reach the second sphincter. But have you fucked somebody and you've hit a wall? Okay.
Ow!
Right.
You know, you got to back off. Hey, I can't deal with that. The reason why is because the second sphincter is not like the outer sphincter. It's like a slit. Okay? When you find it, it's like finding a slit here. You're hitting here, you're hitting here, you're hitting here. You got to find out where that slit is. So your goal with your longest finger is to feel around until you find the slit. And if you play with it, you start tickling it, you might stick a couple of fingers in there, so that if you're not going any further, you can at least stimulate that second sphincter. The reason why is because when somebody gets that joy buzzer and you train them properly, they can come like that. I mean, I have a longer than 7-inch dick. And one of my favorite tricks is to make somebody come within 15 seconds and they had no idea it was possible. Because I figured out where their second sphincter is, because it's different on every man. Different angle, different location, different all that other stuff. But what I do is that I keep trying them. I'll have them sit on my dick. I'll angle them this way, have them lean forward, lean back. Once I find that second sphincter, because I can feel it going bloop, bloop on the head of my dick, then I know I have hit pay dirt, and then I use it on them, and within 10, 15 seconds, bam, they can't control it. As far as fisting goes, the idea is we stimulate that while we're in there. That is a big joy buzzer for them. That's why guys go, you know, deep, because you're pushing through that second sphincter and all those nerve endings. So anyways, so any questions, any thoughts, any observations? I think they're all thinking of dick right now, but yes.
You were talking about the second finger, so you can damage that if it's not relaxed, going in too hard with big dick.
I've never seen it be tight.
Okay.
It's not something that's the same. It doesn't work the same as the outer butthole. Outer butthole is all controlled here. Inner sphincter has nothing to do with the logical mind at all.
But it's closed, right?
No, it's just a slit. Just a slit. You know, you can work your way through it.
Okay.
I've never seen it be tight or anything like that, yes.
Has any experienced fister ever tried sensory deprivation and fisting? I'm just wondering if maybe somebody, especially somebody, a newbie, who's fairly new, intense, and tight, if being blindfolded and headphones on and sort of out of it, if they would maybe be a little more relaxed and enjoying the sensation.
I don't know. And I have the equipment for that. I really do. I mean, I've got the goggles that do the random lights. I've got the headphones that play the random, white noise type stuff. I've got all that sensory deprivation stuff. I've never tried it with fisting. I figured that the dulcet tones of my voice are relaxing enough.
Well, that's almost like a drug bit, too, isn't it? Because it's distracting, but it's not really...
It could be.
It would be distracting to me.
I don't know. I've never tried it.
To me, it's the interaction.
Oh, yeah.
It's about the
flow. The power flow.
Yeah,
I don't want them to be distant from
me. I was thinking more for a newbie, somebody who's really tense and tight, maybe just to get them relaxed and then take the headphones off.
I wouldn't see the benefit. I really wouldn't.
It's just going slower, isn't it, until they relax.
I suppose.
Maybe,
whatever. See, I would do the opposite. Once he's experienced, then we could do the...
Yeah, I'm sure, but with the newbie, I would never trust that.
Because he has to be able to relax, and the only way he can relax is to talk to him.
Yeah.
And you got to concentrate. There's too much concentration. I think of like playing a video game and having a guy like finger me.
Yeah.
It's really, really weird. Like it takes too much concentration for that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see the value. Yes.
The time that I tried, he asked me if I wanted to be blindfolded. Mm-hmm. And he was very nice, but that really scared me. Because it's like, what if something happens? So
you couldn't relax?
No, there was no way I could be, even with my eyes closed.
You didn't feel safe.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. So, and he had a mirror, so it was actually, I love it, because I could see everything, what was happening.
So, you know, we don't have a lot of time left. You know, we'll continue this next week, I promise, brothers. The main thing that I would like to, have as a summary for so far. I see this as a very loving thing to do, as a very tender and very intimate thing to do. You know, you've got him right there, and you're so connected, and it's so wonderful, and to me that's a beautiful experience for me, you know, speaking as a top. Because if I can get him totally happy with zero pain, I win. It's like the best thing experience in the world to know that I did it again, that I'm really good at this stuff, and that I can do it. And if somebody can take this, that's like climbing Everest, you know, for many people. All this work. Hi, Angel.
Hi, I love you. Just trying to get out the door.
I understand, love. Have a wonderful evening.
15 times charm. There we go. Good night.
You too. Good night. Yes. Do the wave. So, again, the intention is to build power flow, which is really, to me, the root of kink, and always has been. If I can build connection with somebody, like I said, connect on this level as opposed to past each other, the intention is, yes, I am guiding the flow, but so is he. Because if he's not comfortable, I'm not going to keep going.
Right.
You know, I'm an ethical top. I want to make sure that he goes out there and gives really good reviews of me. I want him to spread the news far and wide that, you know, hey, this guy really knows what the hell he's talking about. And that's what I want for all of you guys, too. Because if we're just kind of just randomly bumping into things, that's one thing. But sharing wisdom, as you men have been doing, as I've been trying to, what this is really about is that we care enough about each other to make sure that we do things in an excellent way. And that's why I'm dedicated to you guys, because we need more play at the play party. You know, you guys are still kind of getting used to the idea that we have a place where we can actually fuck here, or suck cock, or fist. And, I mean, I'm seriously planning to go to more of the play parties, and I plan to do all those things. You know, I really do. I want to. Now that Mr. Troublemaker is back in functional, position again. So let me talk to you about Mr. Troublemaker. Okay? People are curious. I'm going to be posting a big article with pictures, and some of them won't be pretty. But the reason why is that I want my brothers to know that it is new technology, and it works. Okay? I have a new implanted device inside of me. It's entirely 100% inside of me. There is an incision about this long above my cock. They did all the work through that incision. The biggest problem I have 8 days into it right now is the stubble. I really don't like the stubble. It's really bugging me right now. Yesterday, the swelling had gone down so much that all I could feel was this thing inside of me, and it felt like it was made out of lead. I don't have that problem today. I'm glad to say the progress is wonderful. But the idea is, as I said, it's like a third testicle. They have it on this side. I thought it'd be in the middle, unobtrusive, hiding, you know, in between the other two. But no, it's off to the side. And you squeeze, and the dick gets harder and harder and starts going upward. Okay? And then when you're done with it, then you hit a valve, and it goes down. Tell you what, when we're done here, I'll go out and get the demo bulb and valve that I have in my car so you guys can see what it looks like. Because it's kind of hidden right now. And I'm not shy. Anybody wants to see it, I'll show you. But the idea is that the reason why I would go through this, and by the way, it didn't cost me a penny. Because I went to the urologist with Sharp several years ago, and I tried to get Cialis, I tried to get Viagra, they just gave me migraines. I tried the injectable Trimix stuff, where you stick the needle into your dick, very thin, doesn't hurt. And I would either get 5-minute hard-ons, or 22-hour ones where I would want to die. Okay? It's not pretty. Okay? And it just never was predictable. And so then, since I have gone through the steps to test these different things, my insurance company says, you've tried everything else, no problem, it's paid for. I have no idea how much it would be for most people, but with my health insurance, they didn't even ask for a copay.
Okay, what health insurance do you have?
I'll show you my card. But yeah, it's really nice. I'm very pleased.
Because they're fighting everything.
Wow.
Yes. I dated the guy who did the injection. Do they still do injections as a way to...
Yeah. Yeah, what they do now.
Because it was, I mean, the first time when he brought up the needle, like, what the fuck? Is he into drugs? Is he
no,
drugs?
No, every.
And then he just realized, like, whoa, what is this? I had never knew this.
Every. Let me talk about the injections. Okay. Every porn studio uses the injections. That's how these guys have these dicks that just never go down. If you go out to Scotty and Doran's play parties, by the way, the next one's April 11th. I can get you on the list. You'll see these men who are in their 50s and 60s stand around saying, no, 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 you don't blend the meringue in. You fold it into the mix while their dicks are hard as rocks. They did the shot. Okay. So what it is, it's a very thin needle. It's an insulin-type needle, so it doesn't hurt. You put it in. I mean, first, you take out the this Trimix, okay? Where do you get this stuff? You go to your urologist, a male urologist. Female urologist, you say, my dick doesn't work anymore. Oh, you'll get used to it.
Yeah.
Male urologists say, brother, I know your pain. Okay, so you get this Trimix, and they send you not to Rite Aid, they send you to a compounding pharmacy.
Oh.
Compounding pharmacies kind of are sort of skirting the law a little bit, but they custom make this stuff for you, and you'll spend $120 for like 40 shots worth. You know, I think that's well worth
it. It's sterile injectable, so it's got to be done through certain compounds.
One thing, I think you might be thinking of testosterone.
No.
No.
No, we're injecting it into the dick.
No, I know, but
yeah.
There's...
Oh, he was...
Yeah, testosterone.
Oh, okay. That's different. No, testosterone doesn't do that. But anyway, so then this injectable stuff, you have to avoid, and I demonstrated this at one of my master classes. I really did. I whipped out the dick. And I said, you watch out for the veins, because if you pierce a vein, it turns your dick black and blue. Doesn't change the feeling, it just looks really hideous. Okay, it just all turns black and blue. So you avoid the vein, you go in, there's two tubes on the underside of your dick. Those are what fill up with blood that cause your dick to get hard. So you inject into those. I usually would put half into one side, half into the other, and I would get the result. But then it just wouldn't go away, which was the worst part. I remember one time at Folsom Street Fair weekend, it wouldn't go away and wouldn't go away, and I was ready to just kill somebody. I was so much in pain because all I had with me was tight pants. And those city blocks in San Francisco are really long. And the slave had me get off 6 blocks early. And I was ready to die, you know, before we got to the restaurant. So that's another story for another time. But that kind of convinced me, okay, I'm done with the injections. What else is there? So I started asking around. And so these implants have been around for years, but they've been through at least 8 different generations. The generation that I have now is like the top-of-the-line model 700 GSX. Well, the GSX, the tube, what they do is that they put these two tubes inside your cock. Okay, they're quite firm. But the more you pump it, the longer and bigger they get. So it actually will increase the size of your dick by about 20%.
Do the tubes increase?
Yes, they do. Yes.
It's like those new hoses.
Yeah, yeah.
How do they shrink up when you empty the water out?
See, it's saline. Yeah, it's saline. Yes, they do shrink up. But anyways, the idea is that there's this reservoir above my cock, a little bulge there. It's full of saline. And you pump... I don't know. More than I really need, probably, but there you go.
It depends on the size of your cock. Right?
Yeah. It was funny. I asked them. I said, before it happened, I said, are you going to be able to deal with me because I've got a slightly larger than average dick? He says, dude, we work on black guys. I said, okay.
Yeah.
I get it. So, yeah, that's not one size fits all. But a lot of guys are real desperate to have it make them bigger. And, you know, the most that it'll do on this newest model is 20%. But that can make all the difference.
You mean it'll increase you 20%?
Yeah, length and width. Yeah. So what I did before this happened with my final injection of the Trimix, I had the slave take a slip of paper, wrap it around my cock, and mark how far that was and the length of my dick, a real, true, honest measurement from the base to the tip, and mark that too, so that after 5 more weeks of healing, we're going to get it all the way pumped up, and we're going to see whether that's true or not. And I'll let you know. That'll be in the article. But again, the reason why I want this to be so plain, why I want to put it out there, is because This is man talk in this room. Mm-hmm. You can't get much more male than what we're talking about right now.
And we may all be in this place someday.
Yeah.
And some of us are getting close to
it. Yeah, and I have no shame about that. You know, I mean, Mr. Troublemaker hasn't been working for a long time, and I'm fucking tired of only having happy memories. I want to build some new ones.
Yeah.
You know, I got... Yeah, I got some plenty great stories from the old days. You've heard them all. Let's create some new ones. So that's why, like I said in the posting today, that when I resume the master classes, it'll be here, and I'm not going to be holding back on anything. I'm going to be demonstrating stuff. I'm going to be demonstrating fuck techniques like you've never heard of. I mean, the best of the best of the best. I mean, my brothers, I'm bragging at you right now with absolutely no shame. I don't know anybody who's better than me. Really. I've had this penis inside over 3,000 men. And I know what I'm good for. And I know how to do it. And I want my brothers to know. And I want to be able to demonstrate it. And I waited until the implant before I'd be able to do that. Because I can't trust the other stuff. And so just be aware that that's coming up.
Okay.
Very good. So any further thoughts and questions?
Yes. We talked a lot about things, but we just talked. Is there any way in the demo you're going to be able to show us how to tell how somebody is? I mean, you know, you know how the guy is. He's
right.
You're going to go in. But that's him.
Right.
What about other people? How do we know, you know, when to turn what? Because we won't be feeling that.
Right. Be aware. Well,
you can. I mean,
it's really obvious.
Well, I mean, if it's your first time you're going into somebody, you know, you want to be sure you know what you're doing.
Right. The thing is that it's always a voyage of discovery. With every man.
Right.
And so I can't make any guarantees on that. All I can say is make sure your nails are smooth. Mm-hmm. If you wear gloves, then wear gloves. Make sure you have really good lube. Make sure that they're receptive.
Right.
Make sure that they're welcoming. Make sure that...
Not all fucked up on
that. Yeah, call. Not fucked up.
That makes sense.
But in every case, you're going to have to play that guy like a violin as it is. Speaking of receptive asses... I was at the gym decades ago, and it was fashionable to have those headphones that were like FM radios with the antenna that went down your back. So this guy had it trailing down into the back of his shorts, and I said, what's this? And I tugged on it. He says, oh, that's the antenna for my radio. I said, you know, people told me that you had a receptive ass, but I didn't know what that meant. Sorry. I can't help it. Stop me before I quit again. So... I say let us continue this with great joy next week, but first let's talk about Friday night. Friday night this week is the next harness party. They have specifically laid out the welcome mat like you would not believe for us to show up. I will be bringing a big bag of ropes, like I said, and I invite all you guys very vehemently. I know I talked about it earlier. I want everybody to show up. The reason why is because what we do is performance art as team building. That's what we're doing. By showing up as brothers, where we love each other, the way that we are, we set the tone for the entire event. And everybody knows that magic has shown up because we're there. You guys have seen it. Anybody who's been, who here has been to the harness party with us as a team?
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking addictive. Because we have so much fun, and we bring the fun, and everybody else turns their bodies towards us. They may be too shy to ask. But what they're seeing is the difference between wearing leather and living leather. And we represent the next phase of their development when they're ready. And the men step up and they say, can I help? And the big, beautiful new guy shows up and he becomes our new brother. And we have fun and everybody's glad. And like I said, it totally transforms the experience. So even if you've never done bondage whatsoever, come on and model with us. You know, we'll get you all nicely tied up or whatever. But let's just have this be playful. Because see, here's the problem. What Harness Party is really a leather bar without the leather bar. You know, it's at Numbers. It starts at 10 o'clock this Friday. It's not at the Eagle. It's not, you know, at the Anvil. It's not at the One Way. It's not at the... Well, these young guys that show up would never dream of going to the Eagle, ever. It's a different demographic. And what we want is for them to see us at our best and see how happy we are, how kind we are to each other, how we just... We're honestly, it's a very childlike energy that we bring because we're creative, because we're flexible. We're not just standing around behind a beer going, yeah, fuck yeah, yeah, fuck yeah. We're going for the goal. We're making everybody else go, I don't know what's going on, but I'm really liking this. So let's play. So my request, if anybody who goes this Friday, own it. Have it be your creative outlet. Go nuts with it. be shining with all the light that's inside of you and show everybody else just how fucking wonderful you are, and that's what everybody's going to accept you as. Now, I believe that our brother Roy said something about being shirtless. Why don't you recount, please?
You say it better than I do.
He told me, he said, he has not had that much fun shirtless in a bar in his whole life. I'm paraphrasing. The reason why is because he didn't have to worry about what other people thought of him, because he was already loved. He's already valuable. He's already on the inside. David Griffin, God bless him, once said, you know, this is the first time in my life I've been on the inside. And you guys are all on the inside. So let's show everybody else how nice it is so that they'll want to be on the inside too. Thank you. Any thoughts? Mm-hmm. Any observations? Any other announcements?
I want to say thanks, Mike, for bringing the gourmet appetizer.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, man, that stuff is seriously my favorite so far. Really good.
You just always kind of outdoing yourself every time.
Wow. Really, really fine. Any more? No, somebody was saying something about the riches? Something? Where I've been invited to riches? Tell me.
That is still, I guess it's still in the works right now, yes. but I think they're having a fetish party going on over there at Riches.
Nice.
And he was asking for some demos, like some guys to help out with the demos.
Yeah.
He's going to get back to me tomorrow about it with more information, and I'll post it on FMSD so everybody can see it on Facebook, and I'll get with you so you can put it on the...
I guess the website and everything too.
The college. Yeah.
University.
When's
the date about that?
The date? Well, I think it's going to be, honestly, from what I heard, it was going to be this Saturday.
Bah, that's a little too short.
It is.
Yeah.
Is it the WTF party?
It should be.
That's the 17th.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, when I get more information, I'll post it about
yes,
that.
Yes, please. So I'm sure that there's a lot more stuff to be announced. It's all in the newsletter. Who here is not connected to the newsletter? Show of hands. There and you. Okay, I'll make sure that you're both on there before you leave, okay? Very good. So that's it for me for tonight. So how did we do on the take, brother? On the handy, the money.
More than sufficient.
Absolutely. And I want to. The reason why I asked that, and thank you, that's all I need to know. Every time we do this, you guys are really generous. You guys have been giving from your heart. It helps immensely. I want you to understand what else happens as a result. It's not just we're just paying our dues. What we're really doing is we're showing the folks who put their whole heart and soul into this place, hand making these curtains, you know, repainting the place, putting up better lights, all this shit. The reason why they've been doing it is because they care passionately about creating a space where we can really have a rocking good time. Well, the other groups can't raise much money. We raise more than any of the other groups because you guys are so fucking generous, and they're heartened and they're glad, and every time they see us, they smile huge because we're giving from our hearts. And I really salute you guys for being such generous good men. It really speaks well for your character. Thank you. There's never been a week where you guys weren't generous. Thank you. Right. So that's it for me, gentlemen. See you next week. You're welcome. Yeah. So let's